So what about this Noah movie? Is this some blockbuster, powerful movie that Christians should see, or is it such a departure from the Bible that it's a reproach?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I saw water. Death by water.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to survive the storm.
Did you see the Noah movie over the weekend? I did not. I was busy ministering, and even if I had time, I don't know that I would have seen it, especially right at the beginning. But did you see the Noah movie, or have you gone to see it? God's Not Dead. Give me a call if you did. I'd love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, that was the trailer for the Noah movie, a little excerpt that we played at the beginning of the show. I want to talk to you today about the power of Hollywood. I want to give some thoughts about the Noah movie without having seen it. So this is not my critique or commendation without having seen it. Also, I firmly disagree with a recent article written by Pastor Mark Driscoll that Noah was not righteous. I want to talk about that. Was he just elect and saved by grace, or is there something about his conduct that caused him to stand out? A whole bunch of other things I want to talk to you about today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Also, my latest article, just posted a little while ago, is getting a lot of attention already. In fact, I'm surprised by how much attention it's getting so quickly. Another glaring example of gay intolerance. You can read that by going to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. Also, have you downloaded the free revival series yet? It's a 16-week class that I did. I taught once a week on revival as the subject was growing and burning in my heart about 25 years ago. The first time I laid it out systematically, what it is, the impact on America, how the nation can be changed by true revival. And we're offering it free, no strings attached, yours to keep. It's a big download. It's probably 24 hours of teaching, so you'll want to download it on your computer and then transfer it from there to your MP3 player or your smartphone week by week. But by all means, take advantage of that. Just a couple more days to do it. Please download it. It's free, and it's our way of connecting with you. So go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage, first or second slide. You will be able to download that. And I've got an announcement about a new book coming out. You say, you just had a new book out in January. That was Hyper Grace. And then in December, you had a new book out, Authentic Fire. Yes, but we've got a new book out coming out in May. And we're going to do something special for our listening audience regarding that book as well. So who can miss it? The surge of faith-related films that are coming out in Hollywood. There is a recent article and belief blog on CNN, religion blog. Does God Have a Prayer in Hollywood? The Son of God movie comes out. The Noah movie comes out. There is a book, Heaven is for Real, that's being produced by Bishop T.D. Jakes, based on the best-selling book of that title, about a little boy's vision. An Exodus movie is coming out that's going to star Christian Bale as Moses, scheduled for December. And Mary, Mother of Christ, which is billed as a prequel to Mel Gibson's Passion movie. It's reported that Steven Spielberg is in talks to direct another movie about Moses, and Warner Brothers recently bought a script about Pontius Pilate. Is this a good sign? Is this something positive? Does this mean that Hollywood is being used by God to get a biblical message out? Is it simply a matter of greed? Hey, this is selling, so we'll go with it. There's something more going on. And if you saw the Noah movie or God's Not Dead, give me a call. I'd love to hear your impressions. 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We had a trembler here at Dodger Stadium, and we're now getting reports it was a 5.3 quake. The crowd did not react. You didn't hear a big hole or a grumble or nothing.
Hey, friends, Michael Brown here. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Did you see in the recent days the Noah movie or the God's Not Dead movie? If so, I want to hear from you. I'll be taking calls in a couple of minutes. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. I don't know if you're aware of this, but as the Noah movie was showing in parts of California, there was at that very moment a 5.3 earthquake, 5.3 on the Richter scale. People felt the building shake. Some of them thought it was just, you know, powerful effects, and, you know, the surround sound was that strong. Then they realized more was going on. Some said it was pretty freaky at a given point in the Noah movie, and as warnings are being given that there is an earthquake. I want to talk to you about this. I wrote down a few thoughts regarding what's happening in Hollywood. I have not seen the Noah movie, so these are not my comments on the movie. Number one, let's not underestimate the power of Hollywood. The fact that a new movie comes out is getting massive, massive attention. This is a bigger story than a lot of political news across the spectrum today. This is a bigger story than some international crisis news. This is a major story, not just in America, but in other nations. Some Muslim nations banning it because it depicts Noah, and you're not allowed to depict any prophet. And, of course, Muhammad at the top of that list. And then the controversy among Christians. Is it powerful and something that we can exploit for the gospel? Or is it blasphemous? Is it a mockery of the biblical account? It is big news, and we cannot underestimate the power of Hollywood, for better or for worse. I'm not looking to Hollywood to preach the gospel. I'm not looking to Hollywood to do the role of the church. I'm simply saying, let us not underestimate the power of Hollywood and the power of media to influence thinking. I remember on a different level when the Da Vinci Code book came out, that every flight I had for a number of months, I saw people on the plane reading the book. And then some months after, I was sharing the gospel with someone, and they said to me, well, you know, I believe the way it's written in the Da Vinci Code, which was just a complete fictional novel. Well, the same way people see things in movies, on TV, they are impacted by it. Also, while the director of the movie is basically an atheist, the man behind the script basically for the movie, a Jewish, non-religious man, I don't take away from his creativity. I don't take away from his passion about the story. He said he's been thinking about this story for something like 30 years. Nonetheless, he himself said it's about the least biblical film you'll ever see. So for a theme-based Bible movie, he said it's about the least base biblical movie you'll ever see. Let's recognize that's from the director himself. Also, for Christian leaders, if you get pulled in to make a comment, if now Hollywood producers or directors or major moguls in the media industry are asking you for input, don't bow down to Hollywood. Don't feel now that you have to sound enlightened and be able to see everything. You can say it's artistically powerful, but I feel it deviates from Scripture in important ways. And that being the case, to the extent it does deviate from Scripture in important ways, and from what I understand, does not adequately portray the wickedness of the human race. Basically, the wickedness of the human race is hurting the earth. It does not portray Noah in a way that would be in harmony with the Bible in other ways. There are other issues that come up. To the extent that it falls short, please hear me, friends. This is a reminder to us to preach the reality of coming judgment. There was a flood. There was a flood, and it wiped out the human race except for Noah and his family. It happened. 2 Peter 3 tells us that this whole world will be consumed by fire. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells us that Jesus will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. In my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, I have a whole chapter on the wrath of God. I was shaken as I wrote the chapter, but I pointed out what happened. I had just come from ministering in Italy. I was near Pompeii. I saw the volcano there at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. That's where Pompeii was, and it was wiped out by a volcano in the year 79 AD. And as I stood there and as I read the history, I began to be shaken that one day the whole earth is going to shake. Revelation 6, beginning verse 12, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich and the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us." And now look at this, "and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." The Lamb, the most gentle possible picture, the Lamb which speaks of Jesus sacrificially laying down his life to die for our sins and not fighting back against his enemies. At the end, the wrath of the Lamb, "for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Isaiah 29:6, "the Lord will come with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with windstorm and tempest and flames of a devouring fire." Isaiah 24 tells us that the whole world one day will shake and quake under the judgment of God. We have gotten so far away from preaching about this. We have gotten so far away from preaching the reality of coming judgment with the second coming, something that will be far more intense and fierce than the flood. We have gotten so far away from preaching the sinfulness of human beings and their need for a Savior, especially with so much of our pop TV media gospel, the all-about-me gospel that starts with me and what God can do for me, as opposed to starting with God and telling me what I need to do to be in right relationship with Him. So we need to take hold of these realities. And to the extent the Noah movie presents powerful images, let us remind people of coming judgment. Let us remind them of the reality of what God did in the past. Let us remind them of what's written in Genesis 8, that the only reason God has not sent another flood since is not because we've gotten better, but because we're universally bad and universally in need of a Savior. Otherwise, God would have to continually wipe out the planet. And let's remember that one of the cardinal sins that got God's attention in that day was that the earth was filled with violence. It doesn't mean ecological violence. It means violence, man against man. Today, whether it's the violence of abortion or the violence of human trafficking or the violence of unnecessary war or the violence of rape, the violence of murder, the violence of torture, these things grieve the heart of God. And it is only his extreme patience and long-suffering that is stopping the judgment from coming. So you can come to your own conclusions about the Noah movie. I have not yet seen it, but those are some very strong thoughts on my heart of what we must be reminded of right now. Wouldn't it be a shame if it takes an atheist director putting out a movie about Noah that departs from so much of the biblical narrative that that's what it takes to remind us that we need to warn the world of coming judgment? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phone, starting with Sue in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome, Dr. Brown. You know, when you mentioned the Da Vinci Code and how many people everywhere were reading that and your observation of that, I read that book and I remember I had to close it every so often as I read it because, you know, it was so far from the truth. It was so far from God's love and accuracy. But I knew that I was going to a book club that was reading the book, and I needed to be prepared. So on that note, our small group Bible study is going to go see Noah this week. And we've encouraged one another to read Genesis 5 before. Let's go, you know, we've read some commentaries on both sides of this. And not only that, but I touched base with our pastor, and wanted to get some guidance from him. And as always, his response was both timely and just wise. And so what he suggested, he said he was going to see it with their small group. And he suggested that, he said, with so many people going to see this, it would be very sad if evangelical Christians did not see it. And he also, you know, said, you know, it, again, it will promote even us as well, you know, to really, really ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to show us what God has actually said in Genesis 5 through 9. So
hey,
I'm going to
Sue. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm just jumping in because I hear the music playing. And by the way, if there were things about a movie that would be defiling, then I wouldn't go see it under any circumstance. But if I can see it without being defiled, better use it as a platform for talking to people. Just read about the movie to know about it, as I've done. Let's exploit this opportunity for the gospel. Be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, got a bunch of really important announcements to make. I'll make them very quickly. Tomorrow, during the same hour, we plan to have on the air Eric Hovind. He is involved with the Genesis movie that's going to be coming out, which is going to be a powerful creationist movie. We're going to be talking to him in the second hour today. You can catch that online if it's not aired in your local stations. I'll be talking to astronomer Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe, who saw the NOAA movie and is going to give me his impressions after seeing it. Also, remember, if you're listening on WMCA, if you're listening on WAVA FM, 10 minutes from now, we get to 2:30. To keep listening, just click on your cell phone if you're driving in your car, or on your computer if you're at home. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Just click on that. You'll see a banner, and that banner will tell you listen live. You just click on that. You'll be able to keep listening on your cell phone while you're driving in your car. In fact, just keep listening into the second hour if you like. If you're stuck in traffic, especially on your computer, on your tablet, you can keep listening, and that'll be the pattern for the immediate future. And then as we have greater funding support, we hope to be on the radio even more than we've ever been. Also, the book you have been waiting for. We get constant questions about ministry to family members, friends, individuals struggling who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is essential reading on what's happening in society. But what about what the scriptures say? What about the pain and the struggles that folks go through who identify as LGBT and who want to serve the Lord? How can we minister effectively? What about the objections? My book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, is due out early May. That's right. It's a book folks have been asking for years. It's coming out early May. We're going to do what we've done with a few of the books. The first ones that come in from the very first printing, we're going to number them, beginning with the number one, and we'll just do it for a few hundred. We'll number them, and I will sign them with a scripture for you. $30, postage paid. The sooner you call, the higher number you will have. And it will be our honor to do this for you. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, click to order, pre-order your signed and numbered copy of Can You Be Gay and Christian? 866-34-TRUTH. If you've seen the NOAA movie or if you've seen the God's Not Dead movie, I am eager to hear from you. Let's go to Winchester, Virginia. All right, that was going to be about God's Not Dead, but we'll stay with NOAA for a little while. Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. Gretchen, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey.
Hi. I saw the movie on Saturday, and I was very disappointed. Well, you know what? I went knowing that it wasn't going to be true to Scripture and was even disappointed in the entertainment that I was seeking. It wasn't a great movie, and it was very dark and left me feeling that not even the regular moviegoers were going to be excited. And I don't go to the movies regularly, but Noah, you know, that really caught my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very, very disappointed.
You know what's interesting is I've read that from other reviews. Again, I haven't seen it myself. You know, Ken Ham, the young Earth creationist who debated Bill Nye a few weeks back.
Yeah.
He said it was one of the worst movies he ever saw. But he said on the entertainment level as well, he was disappointed. And apparently on a website, Rotten Tomatoes, where critics weigh in and then where individual moviegoers weigh in, it's doing very poor among individual moviegoers, which means even though it had a blockbuster start the first week, $130 million budget that they have to make up, that they're concerned that the second week is going to go way down because of bad reports. Hey, Gretchen, thank you for weighing in. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Did you see the Noah movie? Let's go to Robert in Manalapan, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Mr. Brown.
Hey.
How are
you? Go ahead. Yeah, I'm doing very well. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, it was probably one of the best comedies I've seen in a while. You know, I went into the movie non-biased. I didn't want to read any reviews or hear from any of my brothers or sisters on what they thought about the movie. So I went in there with an open mind and kind of got led by the spirit on, you know, where to be led with this movie. And it couldn't have been any more further from the scriptures, from stowaways, the evil king of the land stowed away on the boat, and all of Noah's daughter, he had no daughter-in-laws. They kind of picked up a young lady along their travels amongst a dead bunch of people, and, you know, you had everything from Methuselah healing her, giving the first seed from the Garden of Eden to sprout up a forest within minutes to for all the wood for the ark, and these creatures that were building the ark, and I guess they kind of tied in some sort of Nephilim with it. Was just very bizarre, and it could have been further from the scripture. The one thing I did notice in the movie that I saw when Noah, I think it was either when he was on the boat or when he came to rests on land, was they went through the Genesis scripture with the 7 days of creation. And they went along and they would show video of, like, you know, with the creatures being formed, and you'd see a fish turn into a tadpole, and then they'd show monkeys. So they kind of mixed evolution in with the pictures as they're talking about creation, which was interesting.
But overall, so with good New Jersey sarcasm, you call it a good comedy. Yeah, and Robert, you know, something I wonder about, and I'll raise, I've got an hour and a half to go after this, but I'll raise it. I just don't understand why Hollywood thinks it can improve on the Bible. It's one thing if we don't have a lot of information, you know, we're lacking information, but it's another thing entirely when we have a lot of information and you change it. You know, in the Son of God movie, I didn't see that, but one clip with Jesus in the boat with Peter and the miraculous catch of fish. Well, of course, the other disciples are in the boat too. And it's so, it's so much fish, so many fish that are caught that the net begins to break. The boat begins to sink. Another boat comes. That boat begins to sink. That's so much more Hollywood dramatic than the way they play it out there. So I don't understand that. I'm not a director. I'm not a producer. I did write scripts for the show that we did Think It Through, which folks can watch on my website by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking under Jewish. But I'm not a producer, director. I don't have that artistic flair. But I can never understand that. All right, thanks, Robert. So, I mean, how did this help? How did these little things enhance the movie? It's one thing if you're trying to fill in blanks and spots. You know, what was Jesus doing between the time he was born and when he's 12, or from 12 to 30, you're trying to fill in spots. But when you got the narrative, come on. All right, remember, if you're listening on WMCA, listening on WAVA-FM, to keep listening, just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDrBrown. Do it on your cell phone, do it on your computer, your tablet, and just click on the banner that says Listen Live, and you can keep listening. In fact, you can keep listening right for another hour and a half. I want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Did you see the Noah movie over the weekend, or have you seen God's Not Dead? Give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. There's a review. I've not seen the movie yet. I made some comments about it, and we videotaped my comments as I was making them. So we will be making them available, posting that on YouTube a little bit later today. But here's a review on Big Hollywood on Breitbart.com. This is a conservative site. Noah review. Brilliantly sinister, anti-Christian filmmaking. Now, this is by John Nolte. He said it on a quality level, another article, he said he would have given it a B+. And here's what he wrote. When atheist director and co-writer Darren Aronofsky promised that his epic Noah would be, quote, the least biblical film ever made, meaning the least biblical theme, a film about a biblical theme ever made, Nolte says that was not hyperbole. Noah is a brilliant, compelling, beautifully mounted, beautifully acted piece of storytelling conceived for the sinister purpose of leading people to believe that Christianity and Judaism are something they have not. And I ask you, could anything make Satan happier than something that leads people to believe they are saved when they are not? I have absolutely no problem with a filmmaker taking a biblical story and adding or subtracting from it as a way to craft a compelling film. And he goes on, but obviously, as he says, the reviewer says, it's not about being faithful to the story's plot points and dialogue of the Bible. What does matter, though, is the message. The message is everything. And this is where Aronofsky is the snake in the garden, using $135 million. He and Paramount have brilliantly and deviously disguised the pagan god Gaia, so the god of the environment, as the god of the Old Testament, as the god. He says, and let's give the devil his due, using the story of Noah to twist Christianity into something it is not. It's a genius piece of propagandizing that is sure to lead many away from God under the mistaken belief that through left-wing environmentalism they are coming closer to God. He says Aronofsky is the anti-Michelangelo, a master craftsman using his talents to a dishonest and wicked end. Whoa, that's a strong review. Tell you what. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Nancy in Manhattan. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. I did see the movie, and when you mentioned something, what you just said now made me think. It does make God seem like he's vindictive, angry at people, and towards the end of the ride on the boat, Noah wants to, well, I don't want to give it away, I guess, but he seems like all people should die so that the innocent animals can live and you'll have a beautiful world without humans. And he seems to say, when he says, didn't I do everything you asked of me? He's implying that I can't kill people. It seems like he believes God is asking him to kill everybody on board. And it's like, no. So that makes God look bad. And then the giants that are referred to as Nephilim in the Bible,
yep,
they're stone. And in the end, they are protecting Noah, and they give their life, and then they say, God, forgive me, and they go back up to heaven as light. It's like, okay, they can be forgiven.
And all right, overall, just because I've got a break, and I want to get your impression.
Okay.
Overall, if someone said to you, how did you like the movie, what would you say?
I'd give it a C. There's a lot of action, but that's about it.
Got it. Well, you know, you are right in with many, many other moviegoers. That's what I understand about the average rating would be, which means, again, that it should bring a big drop in box office receipts next week.
Maybe,
hey, Nancy. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe people will read the Bible. And also, you said that there was a big earthquake at the premiere. When they were shooting the movie in Long Island, Hurricane Sandy hit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, look that up online. They did an interview with Aronofsky, I think it was.
All right. I will get data on that. I don't know how I missed that, but thank you, Nancy. I appreciate the call. Back with your reports about Noah, or if you saw God's Not Dead, I'm going to be taking plenty of calls, so be patient. We'll get to everyone we can.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I have not seen the Noah movie. I might see it out of curiosity, but good chance that I won't. So a lot of time to spend watching something that I think I already have some conclusions on. If you saw the God's Not Dead movie, though, if you saw the Noah movie, I really do want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, under no circumstances do I believe that we need to pollute ourselves so as to understand what's happening in the culture and witness to the lost. In other words, if there was some movie that everybody was talking about and it was filled with all kinds of vivid sex scenes and explicit, gratuitous violence and profanity, I'm not going to see it. Well, everybody's talking about, what if they're all talking about pornography? What if they're talking about some other perversion? I'm not going to go see that, be defiled by it, or look for some prophetic message. Here's the prophetic message. Get out of the theater. Get out. Flee from the darkness. That's the prophetic message. But if there is something that could be of interest and that could be watched that we could discuss with others, while flying overseas, I watched a few of the Harry Potter movies. I knew there'd be no nudity, profanity, or anything like that. I was not going to be influenced like, wow, I'd like to be a witch or a warlock. So I could watch it just to understand. And I watched this. I see no possible way that if I was a kid watching that, that I would not be pulled into wanting to get into that supernatural realm, which, of course, was on the dark side. That was helpful for me to see. But if there's going to be pollution in seeing it, I wouldn't go near it. Just for the record, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, so thanks to Nancy in Manhattan who mentioned Hurricane Sandy. Joey, play clip number one. This is the famed L.A. Dodger announcer, Vin Scully.
We had a trembler here at Dodger Stadium, and we're now getting reports it was a 5.3 quake.
And you can actually watch, and you see the camera shaking somewhat as the game's going on. You can actually watch the video clip, and you hear some reaction from the crowd. Well, people were watching the Noah movie. Well, there was an earthquake in L.A. They felt the building shake. Some thought, whoa, powerful sound effects. And then they realized it's more than sound effects. Some were shaken. They said it was pretty weird or pretty freaky to have this happening at certain key parts during the movie. Well, interestingly, and I was not aware of this, so thank you again to Nancy from Manhattan. Emma Watson said this. I take it that the irony of a massive storm holding up the production of Noah is not lost. Talking about Hurricane Sandy, here's an article from October 31st, 2012. And I know many are still suffering in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy in the greater New York area and some other areas that were hit. I don't mean to minimize the suffering that they've been through or are going through, but this report, October 31st, 2012, did Hurricane Sandy sink Noah's Ark? The Oyster Bay, Long Island location for Darren Aronofsky's Bible Tale was directly in the storm's path, and conditions are still too poor for the production to assess damage to the massive boat. So as they're building the boat, Hurricane Sandy hits. Yikes. And then as the movie's playing, there's a minor earthquake. Are these simply God's ways of telling us judgment is coming? Judgment is coming. Pastors, can I ask you how often you preach about the righteous judgment of God? How often you talk about God as a righteous judge, not some pity, some petty tribal tyrant who gets mean-spirited and overreacts? No, we're talking about a perfectly righteous judge. The thought is absolutely terrifying if we have not been cleansed with the blood of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. Deborah, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. You know, hello. I saw that movie and I walked out halfway through the movie. It was so disgusting. I finally figured out what Jesus, when he went and he cleansed that temple, how he felt. It was so disgusting that they lie on the Bible like that. From the beginning, they start with one lie after another. It's like they never even read the thing. It was just disgusting. I had to leave.
Got it. And hey, I don't blame you. Even though the director,
I left, and I was supposed to take a friend, and I was so glad I hadn't paid more money to take somebody to see that kind of filthiness. It was just one lie, and it just made God and Noah looked insane. Okay, see, they made Noah, a righteous man, look like petty, contemptuous, and self-righteous. It was just disgusting. It was so disgusting. And then they call them watchers, the angels. Like there was, it was this thing that, you know, if you do a good, God will take you back. If you do a good act, God will take you back. That's how they portrayed the angels. But with Noah, it was like, you know, the Bible says Noah, God spoke to Noah. They had it that God, that Noah had dreams, and he figured it out from dreams. It was just one lie after another. I mean, it was just disgusting.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, Deborah, the thing that's so strange, again, I would think from a cinematic perspective and a dramatic perspective, the idea of Noah hearing the voice of God would be more powerful and would be more intense.
Nothing like that at all. No, he dreamed dreams. It was like they went back to, you know, Joseph or Daniel or something. That he was dreaming dreams. They just mixed everything all together, and they just made a storyline out of it.
Got it. Hey, Deborah.
And, you know, like, and the thing was, Noah was begging God to talk to him in the movie. Just begging. What do you want me to do? You know, like that. And then Noah decided what he wanted to do and how he was going to fix the situation. And, you know, and they took the thing between Sarah and her husband. So they decided who was going to have a wife and who wasn't going to have a wife. Just outright lies. It was just
Got
disgusting.
It. All right, Deborah, thank you for expressing your outrage. And not to be surprised by this when the director and co-writer is an atheist. But let's pray for him. Let us really pray for him. He's been intrigued by the Noah story. He said for 30 years, Darren Aronofsky, let's pray that the Lord will really touch him. All right, we got a bunch more calls on Noah, but let's switch over to God's Not. Oh, come on. This is my second straight God's Not Dead call. We're going to flood it with Noah callers. I flood it with no pun intended. Sorry. Last thing I can do is pun about the flood. But flood it with Noah callers and just a couple of God's Not Dead callers. And each one, when I go to them, they're gone. All right, let us move over to Brockton, Massachusetts. Robert, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well.
Okay. Yes, I'm a pastor and also an actor, and I like the Noah movie. I must say I like the Noah movie from a entertainment standpoint. I enjoyed it. There were a lot of things that were definitely off biblically with the movie, so I would give it a C. I can't give it an A or a B because of things that were off. But what I really, really loved about the movie is that it allowed me to have a discussion with the other church leaders that I brought with me about the movie afterwards. That's what I loved about it. And it caused me the next morning, because I got home late after that movie, to read the whole thing about Noah in the Bible. And I actually have a Bible study that I have to teach tomorrow night. And I'm going to be, and we were going in Genesis, starting from chapter 1, and I'm actually up to the story of Noah tomorrow night. So I was glad that I saw the movie, because of the discussion that it brought about. Out of all the Christian movies that I've seen, and I think that's one of the problems, people thought this was going to be a Christian making a Christian movie. But out of all the Christian movies that I've seen in the last 2 years, this one actually caused me to read the Bible, which made for a great discussion. And as, you know, as a Christian myself, I said, it done the job for me, you know, and as an actor.
Hey, one other question for you, Robert.
Sure.
Again, I didn't see the movie, but just the fact that the flood came, I imagine that's portrayed pretty dramatically. Did that underscore, you know, I fully hear everyone who's upset with the movie and talks about all the compromise and wrong message in it and lack of conveying the sinfulness of human beings against God as opposed to just an ecology message. But was the reality of the flood drilled home to you through the movie?
You know, what was very interesting to me is that, no, what I haven't heard anybody say yet today, was that it actually brought a little bit more revelation to me as to what the picture would look like in Noah's days. There were some things like the flood itself. like, you know, I don't want to give away the movie, but there were some scenes about the flood where I was like, wow, I didn't even think about what it would be like in that situation where the animals and the people all in the water, the things going on like that. And also, you know, when the animals are going through the town, what did the townspeople think about these animals? Even though they ridiculed Noah, but now you see a bunch of animals coming through your town to go to a boat. You know, so it brought some things out to me. I didn't mind that, you know, the word Lord wasn't given to God back then. God has many names. Creator is one of them. So I didn't mind that. You know, it's very interesting.
All right, hey, Robert, thank you, sir, for weighing in. That's why we have our phone lines open. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Friends, this same time tomorrow, first hour, I'll be speaking with Eric Hoven regarding the forthcoming Genesis movie. This is a strong creationist movie, so I encourage you to tune in. Also, in the second hour today, if it's not carried on your local radio station, you can listen online by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You can listen to my interview with Dr. Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe, astronomer who saw the Noah movie and is going to give me his impressions. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's listen to what radio commentator and film critic Michael Medved had to say about the movie.
This is a surprisingly well-acted, imaginative, impressive, almost always engaging film. But it's also weird, indulgent, and at times needlessly reckless with its embellishments on the biblical story. Nevertheless, much of the movie is visually stunning and emotionally resonant, while even the heavy-handed environmental messages give the audience real issues to talk about. It's rated PG-13, but some of the violence and brutality brings it close to an R. 2.5 stars for the audacious and original Noah, a serious film with some serious flaws.
Yes, so 2.5 stars, not that great, especially with a $135 million budget. I've not seen the movie, but I did record some comments earlier in the show. And all going well, we'll have those posted on YouTube in a couple of hours. You say, how will we know? Well, are you connected with me on Facebook or Twitter? Ask Dr. Brown, ASK Dr. Brown on Facebook, or Dr. Dr. Michael L. Brown, so two L's, Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. Connect either way and you'll know as soon as it is up. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, one more try. God's not dead. All right, got to turn the radio down there, Matthew. There you go. Matthew in Staunton, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. So you got to see God's Not Dead?
Yes, I just saw it this Saturday, and I was very pleased with what I saw. It was it's very refreshing to see what we're seeing in the movie theaters nowadays. But I'd like to point out that this is a very strong movie that really touched me, because sometimes we don't have these problems just with professors or teachers. We see this problem among students, because they don't, there's many atheists in America, and it's very refreshing. And I encourage a lot church groups and everybody go see it, because I really appreciated that movie.
Matthew, how was the quality of it, in your opinion?
The quality, it was based fictionally. So there were some things that were, you know, they collided with each other. But I really like, not to spoil or anything, but they had a lot of, like, international students talking to their, Chinese, and they were talking to their parents, and they were saying, you don't know who is listening on the phone, and he's talking to his dad. And I really thought that was based on true facts that a lot of
Got
countries...
It. And Matthew, how old are you?
I'm 13.
13. Well, Matthew, thank you for taking the time to call in, and may God strengthen your faith to make you a witness to many other young people today. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All right. Glad to hear that report from Matthew. By the way, the movie God's Not Dead, which opened in a limited number of theaters, is doing really well from what I understand. And here's a 13-year-old watching it with interest. I'm eager to see that movie. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Alexandria, what are your thoughts on the Noah movie?
I just couldn't believe it. It was like a science fiction movie. If I were not a Christian, I wouldn't find any, I didn't see the entertainment value even in it. I felt it was blasphemous, and I was listening to what the pastor slash actor was saying. What about those people who will never pick up a Bible and whose yep. only Bible they see will be people who are living a Christian life? I think it was very irresponsible, and I really do pray for Aronofsky. It was crazy. It was just crazy. It was like a science. Someone who had made a science fiction movie who was on an acid trip. That's what it was like.
Wow.
And we left.
All right. Hey, thank you for the candid comments and for praying for the director. Hey, one thing he didn't realize as a corollary benefit of producing the movie is all the prayer support he's going to be getting. Probably not what he's looking for either, but hey, I was not looking for prayer support when I was unsaved, but it's the prayers of God's people that God used to turn my heart. Again, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised when Hollywood produces a movie that is ostensibly about a biblical theme and it comes out different or even weird. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised with screenwriters, script writers. I'm not surprised with producers, directors who are artistic and want to express things. I would say I'm surprised when such constant departures are made from biblical truth. I am surprised when the fundamental themes are the themes that are missed. But having said that again, when the director himself, an atheist, says this is the least biblical movie ever made, meaning the least biblical movie about a biblical theme ever made, no surprise there. All right, friends, stay on hold. I want to get to as many of you as I can. And in the next hour as well, I'm going to be speaking to Dr. Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe. And he's going to give me his impressions as a Christian, as an astronomer, having watched the movie. So I'm going to be speaking with him, speaking with you as well. So you can stay on hold. Please do. I'd love to hear from you. If you missed the announcement earlier, I'm so excited about this. This is a book that many of you have been waiting for and asking for. It is Can You Be Gay and Christian? My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, deals with the activist issues in our society. But Can You Be Gay and Christian deals with the biblical issues and ministry issues. I believe I'll challenge you as you read it. If you are a conservative follower of Jesus and believe the scriptures, you'll be challenged as you read the struggles, the difficulties that many have gone through who say I'm same-sex attracted, but I want to follow Jesus. You'll be surprised at interpretations of Scripture, and you will now have answers that will help you to minister effectively as a pastor, as a leader, as a family member, as a friend to those who say I'm same-sex attracted and I'm a follower of Jesus or I'm a gay Christian. You'll now have what you need to minister. The book will be out in 5 weeks or less. You can pre-order from the first edition an exclusive offer, a signed, numbered copy. So this is limited in number. For $30, postage paid. Call now 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org to order. My bottom line today, I'm sure as believers we will have many objections to the story of Noah, but let us, to the movie Noah, but let that remind us to preach the truth according to the Word. Judgment is coming. So what about this Noah movie? Is this some blockbuster, powerful movie that Christians should see, or is it such a departure from the Bible that it's a reproach?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. Wow, in the first hour, I heard from callers who said that the Noah movie was blasphemous. Someone said it seemed like a science fiction movie created by someone who was high on LSD. Someone walked out on the movie. Someone said it was a great comedy with sarcasm. They said that. Pastor and actor said that he actually thought it was very good, despite the biblical deviations, and that it's a great opportunity to now discuss it with other pastors and other individuals. If you saw the Noah movie or the God's Not Dead movie, I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I just want to welcome those who in previous weeks have been listening by radio but are now listening online via our app online. This works on your cell phone. This works on your computer, tablet, AskDrBrown.org. You just click on the banner. So all those joining us, wonderful. Tell your friends so they can listen online if they're not hearing the broadcast on their local radio station. A little while, I'm going to hear from astronomer Dr. Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe, who has a new book, Navigating Genesis. He's going to give us his impressions on the movie. But before that, we're going to hear from more of you. Yes, during one of the showings of the movie in the greater L.A. area, movie theaters were shaken by an earthquake, 5.3 on the Richter scale. That got some attention for sure. And, which I didn't know, something I didn't know, is that the filming of Noah's Ark movie was disrupted because of Hurricane Sandy on Long Island in late October of 2012. Wow. The ark was being built in a place that was hit by the storm. How do you like that? And that was called the storm of the century. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab a couple of quick calls. TJ in Germantown, Maryland. Give me your quick impression, sir, on the Noah movie.
Well,
I'm sorry. Sorry,
hello,
TJ.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, I can. Sorry about that.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I saw the movie twice. I enjoyed the movie. I was just happy that they even made a movie biblically oriented. We don't get that many, okay? And it makes you want to go back and read about Noah in the Bible. At least it made me want to. Now, they did take some liberties in the movie about, you know, what they put in it, but for action and entertainment value. But it wasn't. People are talking about it like it was so bad. And this person, they made the movie. You know Hollywood. It's not going to be 100%.
Yeah, especially when it's an atheist making it. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was, gosh, the acting was great. It wasn't too much sex or anything like that. It says in the Bible that God wanted to destroy the earth because the people were so violent and corrupt, and they portrayed that really good because the people were very violent and corrupt. Methuselah was in there. I didn't read anything about Methuselah. Was that Noah's
Hey TJ, I've just got to jump in, but thank you for calling and for sharing that perspective. That's why our phone lines are open, to hear different perspectives. So I do appreciate the call. I've got to jump in because we've got a break right here. But I think a big concern of the critics would be, those critical of the movie, is human sinfulness against God portrayed, or is it more human sin against the environment that is emphasized? But thank you so much for the call.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I recorded my own thoughts about the Noah movie without seeing it, just related thoughts that I thought were important to share. We'll have in a couple of hours, hopefully, the YouTube video of that as we videotaped the comments that I made in the first hour. A whole bunch of interesting calls. I welcome every perspective. If you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus or a believer in the Bible and you saw the Noah movie, give me a call. Tell me what impact it had on you. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go back to your calls, I'm pleased to have on the air with me again a dear colleague, Dr. Hugh Ross, astronomer, founder and president of Reasons to Believe, which is an organization dedicated to integrating scientific fact and biblical faith. Their website, reasons.org, and a new book of Dr. Ross that treats the flood account as well, Navigating Genesis. Dr. Ross, thanks so much for joining us again on The Line of Fire.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, you went to see the movie, I understand, together with some of the other staff and leaders from Reasons to Believe. So give us your overview and whatever specifics you want to weigh in on.
Well, I think it's a remote possibility that Russell Crowe is going to win an Oscar for Best Song. But besides that, my feeling was they couldn't decide what genre they wanted because I thought, oh, here come the Transformers. This is kind of like science fiction. There's romance here. It's an action movie. And, it's like they couldn't figure out where they wanted to settle down. So I thought, gee, I think they need a good scriptwriter here. But I think my overall impression was they missed the real drama. I think what they were trying to portray is they kind of wove in a fictional story of the interpersonal relationships and conflicts in Noah's family. And if they'd simply read 2 Peter and Hebrews, they would have gotten, I thought, a much more dramatic story than the one they portrayed on film. You know, this whole idea that here was Noah preaching for 100 years while he's building an ark and was actually offering passage on board the ark for any who wanted to repent of the rebellion against God. And then here they are in the ark where God closes them up and it doesn't rain. I mean, what you see in Hebrews is this idea that he was being ridiculed for building this ark and, for preaching that judgment was coming. So here's Noah and his family sitting in the ark for 7 whole days and nights and no rain. And all they heard was the ridicule outside. To me, that would have been a really dramatic story to tell. And I think it's a symptom of what happens when all you look at are the 3 chapters in Genesis. The Bible has got a lot more to say about the flood than just what you see in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. The Psalms speak about it. Job speaks about it. Proverbs and 2 Peter and Hebrews, and basically makes the point, if you really want to get the story, you need to read the entire Bible, not just a chapter here or there.
And, of course, that's been your take on the creation issue as well, that
right,
there's
right.
more to say about creation than is found just in Genesis 1 and 2. Dr. Ross, if you were just watching this, I know it's difficult for us to totally detach ourselves as believers, but if you were just watching this as a non-believer, theoretically, and that's what you knew about the flood, forget, you know, the things about the Nephilim and all the other stuff and that the sons aren't married and those issues, but the bigger issue of why God sent a flood or what is this God like? What do you think you would have come away with?
Well, I think there was a brief sequence in the movie where they kind of gave you a quick glimpse of just how wicked human beings had become at that time, you know, where you got that one son going into the city, and all he hears is the screams of agony as people are torturing one another. So I think that's really right on target, what you see in Genesis chapter 6. But if I were an unbeliever walking in, I'd say, why is God portrayed as an evil creature? Why are the fallen angels portrayed as good? I mean, anybody who knows anything about Christianity would realize, okay, the God of the Bible claims to be a good, loving, merciful God. This movie portrayed him as being the opposite. And why are these fallen angels portrayed as being such great moral individuals, I mean, that just seems backwards. And, you know, what does the producer or the director have against what the Bible speaks about? So I think that would be disturbing to both believers and unbelievers. But then you walk out and say, okay, they're just trying to tell a story. And if I can just dispense what I know, it kind of reminds me of when my sons asked me to go with them to see a science fiction movie. If it only violates the laws of physics 4 times a minute, I can probably handle it. But when it gets up to 10 times a minute, then I begin to lose interest because this isn't even a credible thing to think about. And I think I had the same impression with this movie. Okay, I can handle a few violations of what the scriptures are saying, but it just seems to be an overwhelming violation of what scripture says. And even in the personal portrayals, it's like they're portraying Noah as an evil individual who finally comes to his senses thanks to the appeal of his wife and his son, whereas the scripture tells us he's one of the 3 most righteous men of the Old Testament era. So, and it's like I think they missed the real story. And I would also say Hollywood typically gets it right when it talks about biblical things, when there's a lot of content in the Bible on the interpersonal relationship. So, for example, notice when Hollywood did Esther, they did a wonderful job, because who can improve on the drama of the story of Esther that's there in the text?
Right.
But here I can kind of sympathize with Aronofsky. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about the interpersonal relationships of Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives, and the individuals outside the ark. So Hollywood basically took liberty. We shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and you know, Hollywood is always going to do that. It's going to weave in some romantic story or some personal interest story. And again, I can understand that happening. And when you have an atheist who's the director and partly responsible for the script, and he's been fascinated by the Noah story for 30-something years, you can expect something very different from what Scripture says. The thing, though, I just want to focus on one particular comment you made, and I've heard this from others. Obviously, a God who wipes out the entire world that he created is a God who is very serious about judgment. But Genesis 6 says that it grieved God's heart that he had made man. He was pained over this. And then he vows not to wipe out the earth again with a flood because human beings are so wicked that he'd have to keep wiping it out perpetually. You said you get a very different impression of God. So how does the impression of God in the movie contrast with the biblical description?
Well, in this sense, I see the story of Noah and the flood as one of rescue and mercy, in the sense that if God had just had hands off, humanity was in grave danger of self-extermination. I mean, in this sense, people have the potential to live 900 years, and they didn't have good birth control methods, so we're probably looking at a minimum of 150 children per couple. The population should have utterly exploded in the days before the flood, but it didn't. And the reason why it didn't is because of the sin of Cain and Tubal-Cain, where murder was out of control. And there was one snippet in the movie where they portrayed that, just how, you know, there was all this killing going on. Well, the level of killing was so great that actually we have a higher average lifespan today than we did in the days before the flood. Instead of people being killed off by their fellow man at age 20 or 30, people today have a fairly decent chance of living to be 80 or 90 years. And so that's chilling to realize that even with the potential to live to 900-plus years, the average lifespan was much less than it is today. And it's like if God hadn't stepped in, there would have been no human beings. But God found one righteous family and said, okay, I don't have to just simply watch humanity kill themselves off. We can save this, and you know, we can redeem humanity and really begin to build. But notice after the flood, God speaks to Noah, and he says, your descendants failed to multiply and fill the earth. They stayed in one place. Now I want you to multiply and fill the earth. And God speaks to Noah about murder and says, I will not tolerate this murder. You must put a stop to this murder, and if you have to use the death penalty to rein in murder, then so do it. And we need to keep in mind that in the Levitical law, where you see, taking of a man's life for a crime, it was always a maximum penalty, not a minimum penalty. But the whole point is that this kind of evil must be reined in, and God holds governments responsible for reining in that kind of evil in order to allow righteousness to have a chance to proliferate and flourish. So to me, that's the story of the flood. Mm. But what I saw in the theater was very different. It's like God saying, hey, forget these humans. Let's just wipe them all out.
Yeah, and that's very, very important perspective. All right, I just want to grab a couple more minutes with Dr. Ross so he can tell us about his Navigating Genesis book. It just came out a few weeks ago. And then I'm going to go right back to you, our listening audience. So stay on hold. I'll be right back to you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Stephen Baldwin said this about the Noah movie. I think there were questions about some content of the film being biblically accurate. Biblically accurate, for me, it doesn't make sense. It's about Noah. All Christians should go and support this film because it allows for this conversation, which is cool. Well, I don't know if I have to go support the film to have a conversation about the film, personally. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to your calls, I've just got a couple more minutes with Dr. Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe. He and his team have been frequent guests on The Line of Fire, the website reasons.org. Dr. Ross, you've got a brand new book, Navigating Genesis. You've got a section on the flood, of course. You're going through Genesis 1 through 11 from your scientific perspective. So just let our listeners know what they can expect when they get that book.
Well, it's not a commentary, but what I do is I take on every issue in Genesis 1 through 11 that skeptics will bring up to ridicule the Bible as the inerrant, inspired Word of God. And it's actually a lot to do with my testimony. I didn't meet Christians until I was 27, but I was a scientist. I mean, I've been studying science since I was 7. And what impressed me about the Bible was how well Genesis fit with the established scientific record. And so I kind of tell that story within the book as well. Matter of fact, we've got a Line of Fire button on our front page on our reasons.org website. If people hit that button, they will get a free copy of my story of how science and Genesis brought me to faith in Christ. But that's what the book is all about. It's designed to help you get the skeptics past the greatest roadblock to them believing that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And what I love about it is the science, especially the last few years, is giving us a much stronger case for seeing Genesis and the Bible as a whole as indeed the Word of God and a message to all humanity.
Yeah, what an awesome tool to get out, and I'm thrilled you're doing it. And I will be sending folks, I'll post it on social media as well, sending them to the Reasons to Believe website to get your free story there. So thanks for putting the link up there, and it's a joy to partner together. And thanks for being a movie critic today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Maybe you've got a second career there.
Well, I think you've got a better career in that than I have, but glad to support you any way I can.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless. I appreciate the time. 866-34-TRUTH. That was Dr. Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe. Okay. I just did this. All right. Just did this. So if you go to Reasons to Believe, so that's reasons.org, right on the homepage, you just fill out the required info there and you can get MP3 download or a CD and a free resource that they will send you for listening on The Line of Fire. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. Milda, you saw God's Not Dead. What was your take on the movie?
Yeah, it's actually Melita. They're missing an eye there, apparently. But
they didn't. You know what it is? I-L-I on the screen. I'm the one that missed it.
That's
Dwight
okay.
is very
That's
conscientious
right. I get
with
that
his
all
spelling.
The time, so.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you for setting
well,
us straight.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say I appreciate your work very much. I appreciate the way that you're able to tell the truth along with compassion. You you don't forsake telling the truth, but you do it in compassion, and I really appreciate that. So I just wanted to let you know that. But
thank you, and it's from the heart. Yeah.
Yes, the God's Not Dead movie, I enjoyed it very much. I took my 7-year-old son with me, and he liked it, and I think it was a good tool for letting him realize that he's going to have to stand up for his faith by himself. That's going to come a point.
Now, how well did he understand it? I got a call in the first hour from a 13-year-old. I would think it's especially targeting college-age kids, but what did your 7-year-old get out of it?
Well, he understood every part of it. You know, the girlfriend left him because of his faith. She didn't want him to, lose credit in school and whatever. His parents didn't want him to stand up for his faith. So it was very good for my son to see that. But he's mature for his age, but I think, 10, 11, I think any of those ages can get it because they're faced with that at school. Like they're not really encouraged to talk about any of these things at school. In fact, they're discouraged. So,
you know what's really interesting is I heard Josh McDowell speak a couple months ago, and I'm not going to have this exactly right, but generally right, that he was saying the issues and objections they were dealing with the college-age kids were raising about God, about the Bible, about spiritual things, that now those were being raised by kids much younger, not necessarily 7 years old, but say 12 or 13 as opposed to 19 or 20. And that was basically due to the ubiquitous nature of this on internet, that anybody can be exposed to it, and then people just post on social media and so on. So that's important to remember, that even grounding a 7-year-old, not necessarily in the depths of apologetics, but simply in the reality that his or her faith will be attacked, and that we have solid reasons for what we believe, and that our God is real even above and beyond reason, never too young to start. So thank you so much for the call and for telling me how to pronounce your name. Maybe next time I'll get it right the first time.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, some of you have been holding for a while from the first hour. As soon as we come back, I'm going straight to the calls. I don't want to have to shorten your call because we have limited time now. But really, really important announcement. A book that some of you have been asking for years, is about to be released. It's my new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Due out in about 5 weeks. Sometimes we get a shipment even in advance, in which case we can send it out. Here's what we're doing. You can pre-order a numbered and signed copy. So you'll know if you got number 1 or number 10 or number 150 that you were one of the first people to pre-order this book. So it's a special exclusive edition that we number from the first printing, and then I sign them with a scripture. This is the book that wrestles with the issues. What about someone who says, I love Jesus with all my heart. I want to serve him. I love my partner. We're both same-sex attracted. We feel God's blessing our relationship. Are you telling me that our love is wrong? Love does no harm to its neighbor, but when you tell me homosexual practice is an abomination, you're hurting me. How do we respond? How do we respond with compassion? How do we respond with wisdom? How do we respond with biblical truth? This is the book you've been waiting for. It's to read yourself as a family member, as a friend, as a person struggling with these issues in your own life. This is a great book to give to those who differ. There is an onslaught coming on this very issue within the church. And this is the book that will equip you to respond with compassion and truth. $30 to pre-order a signed, numbered copy. We only do this with the first printing of a book, so this is the one and only time to do it. Call now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978, or just go to my website right on the homepage, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Thanks, friends, for standing together, making a difference. Your calls and comments and a few more from me as soon as we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I haven't seen the Noah movie. I've been listening to many of you who have called. Well, all of you have called in. I've been listening to the many of you who have called in with your thoughts on the movie. I've read a number of reviews. I'm looking at one note here. It's Big Hollywood on Breitbart.com, which is a conservative website. Christian Toto writing, Hollywood may not be religious by nature, but the town's power players listen to the voice of international ticket sales. Those voices spoke loud and clear over the weekend with Paramount's Noah, the biblical tale, which split audiences but racked up impressive sales figures here and abroad. Total global gross of $95.1 million. They spent $135 million in making the movie. Of course, the reviews from moviegoers have been very negative, worse than the critics, which means that the second week may take a real plunge down. Ray Comfort, evangelist, always ready to seize the moment in a gospel way, has put out his own alternative Noah movie. No, it's not actually a movie about the flood with actors presenting the whole thing, but it's a typical Ray Comfort evangelistic tool getting a tremendous amount of success. So if you go to or a tremendous amount of views and a lot of great reports from viewers, he asked me to tweet that out yesterday. We put it on Facebook, tweeted it out. So if you go to YouTube and just search for Noah the Movie, Ray Comfort, this is what you'll hear. Clip number six.
The scriptures call Noah a preacher of righteousness. His life was prophetic in that the ark was a type of the then coming Christ. And we, like Noah, are preachers of righteousness, warning every man, calling a corrupt world to repentance and faith in Jesus, and telling them to be ready for his coming, of which no man knows the hour nor the day.
One thing I have said, and we will be releasing the YouTube of my comments that we video recorded during the show earlier today, is that this should remind us to preach the reality of coming judgment. This should remind us to preach the reality that one day Jesus will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God, that there is justice, that there is righteousness, that there is human sin that will be addressed. At the least, let us be reminded of that even through a flawed movie. Let's go to Boston. Carla, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I did not see either movie, but we were planning on going to see the Noah movie. But this is what happened. This weekend, yesterday, we saw Noah's Ark, which was filmed in 1999. And looking at that movie, we realized that the Noah movie was probably going to be just like the Noah's Ark movie, which stuff was just so wrong. If you did not read the Bible, you did not know your Bible, you wouldn't know that there were so many things that was incorrect about the Noah's Ark movie. And hearing what everybody else said, was I listening to the 2 to 3 o'clock program on the radio, listening to what everybody else said, I realized I'm not going to go spend the money to see it because I'm not going to be pleased with it because there'll be too many things that's going to be wrong. But definitely, people who go see it, they need to pull out that Bible and go check the facts because the facts are not definitely not in the movie. Definitely.
Got it. You know, and Carla, I'm like you in terms of when something deviates from Scripture, I just have a hard time. Maybe I get too picky. I know it's Hollywood, but I'm like, no, that's not the way it happened. And sometimes it's non-essential. Many would say that the deviations from Scripture with the Noah movie are quite essential. But friends, as soon as we come back, so thank you for weighing in, Carla. I appreciate it. And the other movie she mentioned when she said she hasn't seen it yet, meaning God's Not Dead, which of course is a powerful Christian witness movie. But as soon as we come back, I'm going straight to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you think we're living in the last days?
No.
No, I don't think so. People said we were going to die in 2012, and we didn't.
I believe the whole world is going to come to an end real quickly here.
I honestly couldn't care less about when the last days are coming.
It'd be nice if the world ended.
It's not my concern whether it's tomorrow or a million years from now.
All right, that is from Ray Comfort's movie, Noah the Movie. That is his alternative for Christians to watch. Obviously, it's a powerful evangelistic tool, typical of what Ray Comfort, Way of the Master, put out. So go to YouTube and look for Noah the Movie, Ray Comfort, 866-34-TRUTH. Well, I don't know how I missed this story. Yeah, I've been busy speaking and writing day and night and traveling a lot, but from last Thursday, Archbishop of Canterbury singles end of Church of England's resistance to gay marriage. I always put the word marriage in quotes in that context. Justin Welby says when gay marriage is legalized on Saturday, which would have been past Saturday, the church should show, quote, the love of Christ for every human being. You don't show the love of Christ by sanctioning something that God does not sanction. God help the Church of England. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Riverview, Florida. Alan, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, love your show, first of all. And don't take this wrong, but I really don't understand why a movie that Hollywood's willing to spend $95 million on is getting more play than God's Not Dead. I mean, this is 135 million, even better. God's Not Dead is the movie we should be talking of. It's an incredible movie. Have you seen it yourself?
I haven't, but I had Rice Brooks on the air with me last week to talk about it for that very reason. Even though Friday is only You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, I had Rice on. He wrote the book, God's Not Dead, laying out the evidence, and based on that book, the movie was made. So absolutely, we're encouraging folks to go see the movie. But because many have seen the Noah movie, we're talking about it and having some redemptive conversation. But did you see God's Not Dead?
Yes, I sure did. My wife, it's my story, pretty much. I went to the University of Florida as a fledgling Lutheran. And the first teacher, professor, came out with the Bible in his hand, and I thought, hey, college is great, only to be shocked when he threw it on the floor and started preaching and actually turned me into an atheist for 3 years. And God woke me up with a little tap on the head. I wiped out on a oyster bar while water skiing and gave my life to Christ, and it's been a different world ever since. But I highly encourage every man, woman, child, especially families, to go see the thing. Sunday night at 7:30 here locally at the Regency. It was pre-booked where we couldn't even get in to see it. So whole churches are going. But I highly encourage everyone to go see this wonderful movie.
Excellent. And glad to hear about the mercy of God in your own life, Alan. He has his way of getting hold of us. Thank you, sir, for the call. And I second that recommendation to go see God's Not Dead, especially if you've got kids. We've heard from a mom who brought her 7-year-old and said it was relevant for him, and then a 13-year-old caller. But especially high school, college age, go see the movie with your non-believing friends. I think they will really be engaged by it. Let's go back to Boston. Brian, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire. So did you get to see the Noah movie?
I did not see the Noah movie, but I won't go see it either. From what I heard, people at my church went, and it sounded really almost, like somebody said earlier, dark and, I don't know, all the tones of demonic stuff. I would definitely not see that movie. That's not for me. But I did see God's Not Dead.
Excellent.
And, me and my wife both went, and I think a few tears rolled down my eyes, and she never cried, and she cried, and the way they tied everything together there, it was great, it was very good, excellent, all the way around. I guess I'd have to say excellent.
So real quick, Brian, do you get to see a decent amount of movies?
Not really these days. Honestly speaking, I mean, I try.
Yeah, same here. No critique in that. Yeah. No, the reason I was asking was just in terms of the acting, the professionalism of it, how it compared to other movies you've seen. Were you embarrassed by the poor production or were you pleased with it?
I wanted to especially say that. Even my wife said when we walked out, and I was thinking this at the end, too, I said, this was really good acting. It was very good. Because there are sometimes, you know, they kind of don't have the money that the, and you're like, well, you know, the actor's a little quirky, you know, people are a little stiff. But this was, it was excellent. The young man who did the, who played the Christian in there, and everybody, even the professor, it was a breath of fresh air. It really was. And it reminded me of when I was in college. I had a similar situation too with a professor who didn't like a paper that I wrote about Christianity, and he gave me a D. When prior to that, the English teacher gave me a B plus on the same paper. But come to find out, the professor that gave me the D, and you were allowed to use a paper you had. It wasn't I was using something that I wasn't supposed to.
You know, Brian, and it reminds me of the fact that when I went to school, I only went to secular university, secular college. In other words, I never went to seminary except to teach at seminary. I never went to Bible college except to teach at Bible college. So I never sat under a believer. And the only religious people I ever sat under were, say, a religious Jew. So they believe very differently than I did. And some were actually atheistic and some aggressively anti-God, and that's what I was exposed to. That's why I had to start learning and start studying and coming up with answers, because you do get bombarded, you get intimidated, because the professor's the one that knows everything and you're just the student, and yet they're telling you anyone with half a brain wouldn't believe these things. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas. Is this Nicole or Nicole?
Nicola.
Nikolai, all right. I should have got, man, that's two I've missed so far that were spelled correctly. Nikolai, where are you from, Nikolai?
I'm from Fort Worth, Texas.
All right. How'd you get the name Nikolai?
My mama gave it to me from this German artist.
got it. All right, I knew there was some story behind it. Excellent. Yeah, so what's your take on the Noah movie?
The Noah movie, I absolutely hated it. And especially the symbolism with the snake skin wrapped around Noah's father, Jared. Why is he blessing him? As he blessing Noah, he blessing Noah with the snake skin wrapped around his own, like his God. And also, there's so many different things is absolutely wrong with that movie. It's like Methuselah, he died in the flood, which you read in the Bible, you know, he died 7 days. And then they made the washers look like it was good guys, and God destroyed. Cause of flood because of the washer corrupted the seed of man, also the seed, also the flesh of animals, also, and man was corrupt. Period. Too, also because of the washer, but they make the washer like good guys, and I really don't believe that the director of the movie, atheist, I believe he probably a Luciferian because he made the bad guys look good, and like I said, and then the Noah he didn't go find the wife for his sons, and Tuba came, he bust in and got in on the ark. And it's just so many different, it's not even biblical, that movie that came out about Noah. Only thing they got right was the name of the characters, the flood happened, and the ark was built. And then, he didn't build the ark. The watchers built the ark, which means that's a lie, because the watchers was evil. God trapped all of them in Tartarus or Hades because of their sin. And they watched the giant, and they made the watchers like they were giants. No, the watchers weren't the giants. Their children was the giants. So it's just a whole bunch of negative stuff, and people that say it's a good movie and they say they Bible believing Christian. If you Bible believing Christian, you would not even like Noah, because you read the word, the scripture yourself, you would know all that based on lies that movie was.
Hey, Nikolai, loud and clear. Thank you, sir, for weighing in. I appreciate hearing from you. 866-34-TRUTH. We do have time for more calls, so stay right there. And I'm going to get right back to you on the other side of the break. Here's a fascinating article. I found a few on the Big Hollywood site and Breitbart.com, conservative website. This was Breitbart News, March 30th, yesterday. Moviegoers can judge for themselves what happens when an atheist tackles religious material, courtesy of director Darren Aronofsky's Noah. In the early 1970s, another heralded director mounted a production dealing in faith. William Friedkin didn't shy away from God. In fact, he embraced the Exorcist spiritual elements and says the film's sequels failed because they lacked a spiritual component behind the scenes. Isn't that fascinating? He said, I made that film as a believer, speaking to students at Loyola Marymount's University School of Film and Television. The reason that all the sequels to The Exodus are rotten chunks of excrement is because they are made by non-believers. What they all attempt to do is defrock the story and send the thing up. That's wild. That's wild. If you didn't hear it, Hurricane Sandy interfered with the production of the Noah movie.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, remember, a couple hours from now, or maybe an hour and a half from now, we'll have posted on YouTube my thoughts about the Noah movie. Without having seen it, I'm not reviewing the movie. I'm making comments related to larger issues that I think will edify you and stir you. You can watch the videotape of those comments as we video record it. That part of the radio show that'll be posted on YouTube. So if you subscribe to my YouTube channel, you'll be notified as soon as it's up. You can do that by going to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, clicking on the YouTube icon, or you can click on the Facebook or Twitter icon and sign up to follow me there, and you'll be notified as soon as this is up. Also, be sure to read my latest article, which is getting a lot of attention very quickly. Another glaring example of gay intolerance. And I think tonight, time permitting, I'm going to write an article on why Mark Driscoll was wrong in his article about Noah not being a righteous man. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Layton, Utah. Debbie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you. I went and saw Noah, and I was hugely disappointed. You know, sometimes you read a book and then they make a movie and it doesn't follow the book at all. I don't think they read the book at all. I was so disappointed in it. Just the very idea that they didn't even address the number of years that Noah worked on the ark, you know, and how he could have completed that himself without these rock people, these watchers that were so poorly portrayed, but the whole thing was just a huge disappointment. I was in a ladies' room afterwards, and ladies were just saying, you know, they didn't even bring up the name of the Lord. They didn't even say the word God. And yep. I have three precious grandsons, and I won't want them to see this.
How old are they?
They are 6, 9, and 11.
Got
but
it.
You know, they're bright enough and they're smart enough that I would take them to see God's Not Dead, and I
Good.
Know they would get that.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, well, again, we heard from a mom who said her 7-year-old came away understanding certain things, and I guess there's certain drama in it that's easy enough to understand, even if the arguments are missed. I read one article about the movie that said moviegoers flock to see Noah and hate it. Which means that if that's the case, and thank you for the call, Debbie, that means that you will see a tremendous drop-off in box office receipts next weekend to this. So we shall see. Let's go to Julian in Paducah, Kentucky. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon. One of the callers was upset because Noah had dreams. But
dreams as opposed to hearing the voice of God, right?
But the whole book of Revelation is a dream.
Everything
in the book of Revelation is a result of a dream.
How do you know that?
Because I've read higher criticisms.
No, but where does it say that? I mean, biblical scholarship is my field. Where does it say that it was?
That's how we do things like that. we see things. That's the only way we can see things.
You can have an open vision. Are you saying that it's impossible for God to give someone an open vision? I had open visions that were drug-induced when I was hallucinating before I was saved.
Well, they were drug-induced.
Surely God, that tells me that God can produce a real vision. If I could get a drug-induced vision.
That's not necessarily true. I might have a vision if I'm on LSD.
But God can't give you one?
I might have a vision if I'm asleep
So God can't give you a vision. It's impossible
for
God.
I don't think God does.
But it says in the Bible he does explicitly.
But that's because I'm an atheist and I don't think there is a God.
Ah, all right. Well, Julian, so then that's really the bigger issue. Did you watch Ray Comfort's movie online about this?
I saw all three of his other movies and I thought they were ridiculous. I think Ray Comfort is ridiculous.
Yeah, how so?
I think he's a busybody that anybody, when he gets in their face, they should be able to punch him in the nose.
And you think that would be a good thing to do?
Yes, I think he's an arrogant huckster that has no regard for people's souls whatsoever.
Do you think that you might be arrogant in the statements you're making?
No, I don't. I say the statements I'm making in a spirit of true humility.
Yeah, well, they sound arrogant to me. That's the funny thing. You know,
well,
I mean, that's
because,
the problem.
Because you're messed up.
Ah,
because you're
all right,
arrogant,
so,
too.
Ah, okay. So maybe we're all arrogant. Maybe we're all messed up, which is why we need a savior.
I can give you some examples of why you're arrogant.
Oh, well, tell you what. We've only got a minute. Why don't you give me one, okay?
Okay, I'll give you one. You complain and moan and groan and all last week about stations going off the air because you're not getting enough money in. Well, you can go down to Peru and be a busybody and interfere with their internal relations. Let me finish.
Tell you what, we got. Hey, Julian. Actually, I didn't moan and groan at all, but thank you for listening. I simply announced very positively that we're pruning back. That's first thing, that we're unable to fund this ourselves. We're pruning back, that we're having greater influence and expansion than we've ever had. This is pruning back, just to be frugal stewards. And I was invited by leaders in Peru. I was invited by leaders in Peru to speak to them at a congressional hearing with university chancellors on the consequences of homosexual activism in America. It's amazing that gay activists can go all around the world and our president can make comments criticizing other nations as to what they do with homosexual issues. But when I'm invited by the government, and I say explicitly, I'm not here to demonize anyone. I'm not here to incite hatred towards anyone. I'm not here to talk about criminalizing behavior. I simply want to let you know what happens when you normalize homosexual practice and redefine marriage in a culture. So I'm being a busybody and you're speaking with humility. I'm arrogant. Hey, Julian. Tell you what, let's all put ourselves in the same class as fallen human beings who need a savior. And without God's truth, we're never going to agree on moral standards. But please do keep listening and call in. If you can call in earlier, we can have a longer conversation. Fair enough? All right, friends, we are out of time, but I'm delighted to hear from Julian, an atheist, listening. That really encourages me to know that he is listening despite our differences. The book you've been waiting for, you can now pre-order, exclusive edition, signed and numbered. We only do this with the first printing. Can You Be Gay and Christian? At last, will be out. I've worked on it for some time. It is due out now in about 5 weeks. So call now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, to order your numbered, signed copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. My bottom line today, as I'm reminded by the call from this atheist, the world continues to deny and mock God. He will act. Will we be ready when he does?